Reading today is from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7, and I'm reading from the NIV. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.
He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost, and from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children."
So good morning.
Morning.
Over Christmas this year, my mum, who normally lives with us, she went and house and dog sat for my sister. She'd been away for about a week, and I noticed that one of her plants in the kitchen was looking very sorry for itself. The leaves had started to go a bit brown, and it was visibly wilting, a bit like me now. Panicking that the plant was not going to die on my watch, I quickly gave it some water. Now, I am no gardener. After 16 years of marriage, my husband now buys me Lego flowers and plants. That's how bad I am. Anyway, once I'd given the plant some much-needed water and TLC, it started to look a bit perkier. So as someone who isn't naturally green-fingered, I was rather proud of myself. The plant had potential to flourish, but because I'd neglected it and not given it the care it needed, it had become dry and started to wilt. But with love and care, giving it what it needed, the plant had been revived, enabled to reach its full potential as brown, dry roots and stems became green. I wonder if you've ever felt a bit like that plant. Dried out, weary, unloved, perhaps burnt out because you do so much for your church, for the job, for people around you, and you're not getting the nourishment that you need. What was it that revived you? Or perhaps you feel like you're in that space right now. Well, if that is you, I hope that this talk today will be an encouragement to you that this feeling is not going to be forever. That's not me just saying the words to try and make you feel better. It's not an empty promise. It's a promise from God that things will get better. And a bit like that plant, you will be revived. And today we're going to explore this promise through two key points: the promise of being made new and the call to bring life to others. So let's look at these together. So firstly, the promise of being made new. We hear this promise in the words of John's revelation, which we heard in our reading today. John wrote this letter to encourage seven churches who, like John himself, were going through a time of persecution when Christians were suffering under the harsh rule of the Roman Empire. Many were facing severe oppression, and John himself was exiled because of his faith. In this context, John's vision of a new heaven and a new earth, it wasn't just a distant hope, but a really powerful message of encouragement to those who were weary, worn out, and hopeless. The vision portrays a world where God will make things all new, where suffering, pain, and death will be no more. It's a reminder that no matter how dark and difficult the present may seem, God's promise of renewal and restoration is sure. The words of Revelation 21:3 is an assurance of this, as it says that God will dwell with them, drawing close to his people. God will wipe away every tear. It's a really intimate act that shows that he sees, understands, and cares for every struggle we face. It isn't a promise to simply patch things up, but to completely renew everything that's weary, everything that's broken or hurting. For anyone feeling worn down by life's challenges, this promise speaks directly to you. God is not distant or indifferent. He is with us, especially in our suffering, and promises that all pain and sorrow will one day be gone. In Revelation 21:6, God declares, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of water of life." This is a powerful statement, reinforces that God is the source of all that is good and the fulfillment of our deepest longings. For those of us feeling parched and in need of hope, this is an incredible invitation. It reminds us that God is not only our creator, but also our sustainer, promising to quench our thirst for healing, for hope and renewal. In our moments of suffering, we can turn to him, knowing that he offers us the living water that nourishes our souls and gives life to what feels dry and lifeless. Now, I'm a massive bookworm, so much so that when I was a child, I used to stay up past my bedtime reading just that one last chapter, and I'd do it under the duvet with a little light. And ever since I was a child, I've had a really terrible habit, one almost as bad as folding down the corner of the pages rather than using a bookmark. I skip to the last page to check what happens at the end. Please don't judge me too harshly. I find it really hard, especially if I'm reading a novel where there's a bit of jeopardy, not to know whether everything will turn out all right at the end. I think as humans, we're naturally drawn to narratives of good versus evil, of light versus darkness, the kind of stories where, despite struggles and battles, good always wins. Think of the epic blockbusters that we love, like Lord of the Rings or Star Wars, even the They All Lived Happily Ever After endings of fairy tales we grew up with. They captivate us because they resonate with our deep-seated hope that good will ultimately triumph and it'll be all right in the end. And I believe that the reason that stories like this are so beloved and popular for humans around the world is because these narratives are what we are made for, even if we don't realise it. We are created to hope. Yet in the real world, surrounded by so much darkness and pain, it's easy to doubt whether there will be a happily ever after. And John's revelation speaks directly to this doubt. Verse 4 of our reading says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." Despite the struggles we face, God's plan is for good to triumph over evil. It's not just wishful thinking, it's a divine promise rooted in the death and resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection is our assurance that good will indeed triumph. And when Christ returns, we will see the full impact of his victory. This promise is not just for the end of time. It gives us hope in the here and the now. Do you feel like there's a part of your life where you need good to triumph? Be encouraged because of Jesus, we can live with the confidence that darkness and pain and tears aren't going to have the final word. Our Revelation reading today gives us hope that God is not only with us now, but is preparing something better than we can ever imagine. In those moments when life feels hardest, Revelation reminds us that God's heart is to restore all things, including the places within us that feel lost or broken. He sees the silent tears, the private struggles, and the moments of despair. But this vision of a new heaven and a new earth isn't just about escaping hardship, but about God's commitment to bring true healing and restoration to everything that's broken. It's a promise that fuels us with hope, not just for ourselves, but for the world around us, a world full of places and people longing for renewal. And this leads me to my second point, the call to bring life to others. As recipients of God's transformative love and hope, we are invited to be agents of change in a world that longs for healing and restoration. And there are few places where this longing is as urgent as the leprosy colonies of Odisha in eastern India. 25 years ago, a Christian man and his 6 and 10-year-old sons, who had been serving people affected by leprosy in the leprosy colonies of Odisha, were murdered for sharing the gospel. And since then, there's been no outside help at all in Odisha. It's no surprise then that the number of people diagnosed with leprosy here is double the average in India, meaning that Odisha has one of the highest leprosy rates in the world. Only 13% of people living in the leprosy colonies are able to read and write, and a staggering 96% of people who live here have permanent and life-changing disabilities caused by leprosy. Stigma and discrimination are experienced by everyone affected by this disease. They are not, for example, allowed on public transport. They can only marry within leprosy communities, and begging is often the only way to survive, with earnings of less than £1 a day. There's no way to meet their basic needs, and they can't break out of this poverty cycle. So last year, our friend Louise and another colleague, Peter, visited Odisha. In fact, Louise is there right now. Louise briefly shared with you a little while ago the impact that this trip had on her. They were both shocked to meet people living in homes that are so run down that they look like crumbling caves, with asbestos in the roofs and no way to stop cobras and scorpions from coming in at night. Here, there is no access to toilets or running water. People have to go to the toilet in fields, which is particularly dangerous at night time because of the snakes. The only source of water is a river, and there's no way to make sure it's clean. It makes it so hard for people to clean wounds caused by leprosy. During his visit, Peter met this lady, and when he put his arm around her to comfort her, she told him that it was the first hug that she'd received since her childhood. When asked what her hopes and dreams are in life, she said, "I dream of having my own sari one day." Imagine having so little that your biggest dream is to own one garment of clothing. Many people affected by leprosy shared with my colleagues that they have so little hope that they often go to bed at night praying that they won't wake up in the next day. It seems like the hopelessness in the leprosy colonies in Odisha is insurmountable. On his next visit to Odisha, Peter plans to bring a beautiful new sari for the lady he met there, which is a really kind gesture. But there are so many more problems in the leprosy colonies, and it can feel overwhelming to know how we can possibly start to make things better. The situation is so far from the vision of John's new heaven and a new earth where every tear will be wiped away. But the amazing thing is that people affected by leprosy in Odisha won't have to wait until the return of Jesus for their suffering to end. During Jesus' life, he spoke about his death and resurrection that was to come, but that didn't stop him also showing love and compassion to people who were facing suffering there and then. Take Mark 1:40-41. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." In that moment, Jesus didn't just heal the man's physical affliction, he also healed his heart and his dignity. Think back to the story of the lady I mentioned just now, who hadn't even been hugged since her childhood. And then think about how this man must have felt when Jesus reached out and touched him. I can just hear the collective gasp from all those who witnessed it. Jesus isn't meant to touch that man. He's unclean. Oh, he's gone too far this time. Isn't this so symbolic of the way that Jesus touches all of our lives? In the most unexpected way, Jesus came to save us. The holiest of holy, God, who logically shouldn't want anything to do with us and our sinful lives, literally stepped into our world, embracing our pain, bringing us healing and reviving us. Jesus chose to come to earth as a person, to humble himself and to follow God's call to serve. This shows us what it looks like to give our lives for others. His example challenges us to reflect that same love in our own lives. Now, we can't all go to Odisha and bring people food, water and hugs, as much as I'm sure many of us would want to. But when you pray and when you give, you are enabling the love of Jesus to reach people who desperately need it. By the simple act of reaching out and touching the man affected by leprosy, Jesus gave this man a future and a new beginning. And just as Jesus reached out to touch the man deemed unclean, taking on the man's impurity to make him clean, so too does Jesus reach out into every one of our lives, stepping into the messiness of our lives, bearing our sin and cleansing us completely through his grace. This act was a profound statement that in God's kingdom, no one is excluded or beyond the reach of love, beyond the reach of healing or forgiveness. We're now going to watch a short film that tells the story of Anjali, a lady who lives in the leprosy colonies of Odisha. Through her story, hopefully, you'll see how your compassion can revive a place that seems hopeless.
When I was a girl, it seemed as though I had everything. I remember the summer evenings when my brother and I would sit by the river and dream about our futures. I wanted to be a nurse. I didn't know then that my dream would never come true. When I was 11, I first saw the white patches on my skin. I was scared to check myself when I washed in the river. With every week that passed, another patch appeared. The doctor told me I had leprosy. I didn't really know what that meant. No one in my family had ever had this disease before. I should have been given medicine, but I was sent home with nothing. Without the cure, leprosy began to attack my body. Slowly, I lost the feeling in my hands. My fingers were so weak that one morning as I was cooking rice, I dropped the pan. Boiling water poured over my hands, but I felt nothing. We all panicked. My mother took me from one traditional healer to another, but nothing they gave me worked. From this point on, my life took a very dark turn. My grandfather lived with us, and when no one was listening, he would tell me I was a curse. He said he was going to kill me. I was going to die. I was so scared of him. He tried to poison my rice and made me really sick. He took me to the railway tracks and tried to push me in front of a train. I don't know how I escaped, but I managed to run away. Then one day, he told my mother he was taking me to hospital and that he'd bring me back when I was better. We drove for hours and hours. Eventually, we stopped at what looked like a derelict village on some waste ground. He told me to get out. I thought he was coming too, but he didn't. I was terrified. Where was I? What was happening? I fell on the floor, crying for my mother. I didn't know then that I'd never see her again. An elderly lady from one of the shacks picked me off the floor. She and her husband took me in and looked after me in the leprosy colony. My heart was broken, but slowly I rebuilt my life as best I could. My hands were almost useless. I knew there wasn't much of a future for me. At night, I'd lie in bed and think about my brother and of the dreams we once had. When I was 19, I married an older man from another leprosy colony. I have two sons of my own now, but I want so much more for them than this life, the life I've had. We have nothing. I have to beg because no one will employ me because of my leprosy. Our home is collapsing. There's water coming through the roof. It's really hard living in a wet, damp room during the monsoon. There's no toilet, and we walk to the river to get water. There's so much sickness, I can't afford doctors. No one can hear. I'm scared our children will get leprosy too. No one cares about us. We're forgotten.
Anjali's tragic story is just one of the many in this region of Odisha. Poverty, poor sanitation, and a lack of healthcare means it's the perfect breeding ground for leprosy. These communities have been forgotten by the world, with no outside help for over two decades. We found elderly people surviving on one bowl of rice a day, malnourished and weak. Children facing sickness from drinking river water. Homes on the verge of collapse. Infected ulcers and disability caused by leprosy, seen as a curse and despised by all around us. But worst of all was the loss of hope. Like you, we believe Jesus is the hope of the nations, and together, in His name, we can revive these communities, stopping the spread of leprosy now and for future generations, providing clean water and toilets, building safe homes, providing opportunities to grow food and look after livestock. With your support, people affected by leprosy in this remote region of Odisha will no longer be forgotten. God has called us for a time such as this, a time to revive health, revive futures, and revive hope. It's time to revive people affected by leprosy in Odisha. 24 pounds cures one person of leprosy. 72 pounds buys two goats for milk and breeding. 160 pounds provides vegetable plants and fruit trees for a community farm. 800 pounds provides a borewell for a source of clean water. 2,500 pounds with a match fund of 1,500 pounds from the Indian government builds a safe family home and toilet. Please, visit leprosymission.org.uk/revive to give today.
There is no hope of escaping this life. I have nothing. It's heartbreaking to hear those words in such a story of loss. But I hope that today you can be encouraged that there is hope because Jesus is the hope of the nations. Together we can revive the leprosy colonies of Odisha and remind people like Anjali that life does not have to be this way. And can you play your part? So one way that you can make a huge difference is by praying. Isn't it amazing that we have a God who loves and listens to us, even when we feel like our voices are really small? Please pray for people affected by leprosy in Odisha. I've brought with me some prayer diaries, which will give you some prompts and things to pray for so that you can lift up to God people who have for so long felt forgotten. Rosemary has also sourced two books and she's popped them out in the library that tell a bit more about the story of the leprosy mission. Another way you can revive Odisha is by giving. I brought my handy card machine with me, as well as gift aid forms, and I would love to chat with you after the service about how you can give to change the lives of people affected by leprosy. And perhaps today you could also consider committing to helping people affected by leprosy in Odisha on a more regular basis. Just £8 a month is enough to cure 4 people of leprosy a year. What a life-changing difference that would make, ensuring that future generations will be free of leprosy and can have hope for the future. Again, please do come and find me afterwards and I can give you some more information about this. And I'm thrilled that our friend Victor and his team are partnering with the Leprosy Mission to bring revival to the communities in Odisha. For many years, as you know, Victor has dedicated himself to working with leprosy colonies in Andhra Pradesh, helping to build safe homes, improve sanitation, and advocating for the rights of those affected by leprosy. Now he's bringing all that experience and knowledge to support the forgotten communities in Odisha. Thank you so much for your love and compassion for people affected by leprosy. And I'd just like to end in a prayer. Loving God, we come before you, who brings life to what was once hopeless and weary. We lift up to you people living in the leprosy colonies of Odisha, longing for healing, for dignity, and a future. May your presence revive their lives and renew their communities. Inspire us to be your hands and feet, reaching out with love, compassion, and generosity. May we carry forward your promise of a world made new, where tears are wiped away and hope is revived. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.